Tainus, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, 2:1. In the previous Mishnah, we had listed a total of 13 fast days, which were communal fast days in response to a lack of rain, which could be divided into three different categories of increasing intensity. Number three, then three more, then seven more, for a total of 13. So this Mishnah, I will talk about those final seven, what the Seder Hayom, the basic, how they went about, besides for fasting, what they did on those 7 days. So the Mishnah says, Seder Tanias Ketzad. What went on in those days? What was the arrangement of the day? Motzin es ha-teva l'rechova shel ir. They would take in the morning the teva, the box in which a Sefer Torah was kept, from the Beis Knesses, the synagogue, into the town square. So we're not talking about taking the Aron Kodesh itself, which was presumably sort of attached to or built into the wall, as typically was the case back then. But rather, there was a separate box that held a single Sefer Torah that was sitting in front of the Aron Kodesh, and it was before that box that the Shliach Tzibur would lead his prayers normally. So we're taking that box, that one Sefer Torah, and bringing out into the town square. The town square, because now this is sort of like a disgrace of sorts. We prayed to Hashem privately in the shul, but we got no response, and now we sort of go into the public and sort of are in a less respectable situation, you know, crying out in public for Hashem to answer us. V'nosnin efer mikle al gabe hateva. They would put ashes on that box holding the Sefer Torah. Efer mikle, efer is ashes, and mikle means like from a stick, meaning like a burnt stick, they manufacture those ashes. This is to clarify that sometimes efer refers to dust as opposed to ashes, but here we specifically want ashes from something which was burned, because that is an allusion to Yitzchak Avinu and the Akedah and his ashes still being in front of Hashem, if you will. Of course, the Pashup Shad is that it wasn't he who was offered, but rather the ram in his place. But the point is, it was in his place, and therefore those ashes from that offering still like are zechus to us, and we're recalling those and referring to those in this symbolic act. It's a bit of a disgrace, of course, the Aron Kodesh to have this ashes put upon him, upon it. But this is really to sort of symbolize that Hashem is also with us in our suffering, as the pasuk in Yishai says, "Bechol tzarasam lo tzar," our suffering is His suffering, so He's suffering with us. Now there is a different girsa that the Rif has, which says, "Lamanosin efer mikla al gabe sefer Torah," that the ashes go upon the Torah scroll itself, as opposed to the box in which it's contained, and that is really how the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch codify it. So according to them, not like our Mishnah explicitly, the ashes actually go on the sefer, the Torah, the scroll itself. Not only does the ashes go onto the Torah scroll, but also Uvarosh HaNasi Varosh Av Bezdin, the Nasi, the head of the Jewish people, as well as the Rosh Av the Rosh Av Bezdin, the number two man, if you will, who heads up the Sanhedrin, aside from the Nasi. So both of them also have ashes put on them, and unlike everyone else who also have ashes put on them, but in the case of the Nasi and the Rosh Av Bezdin, and it's another person who puts the ashes on them. This is sort of also like a bit of like a degrading situation, because they don't put it on themselves. Someone does it to them and for them, to lower them and to induce them to also be especially contrite and realize that their impotence in terms of solving the Jewish people's problems without returning to Hashem. And same goes, everybody else applies ashes on their own heads, more ashes on their heads. The place of the ashes is going to be where one puts his tefillin shel rosh. That's really also based on a pasuk, learned from a pasuk in Yeshaya, in Perek Samach Aleph, pasuk Gimel, referring to happier days of redemption. It says, Lasum la'avele tzion la'ses lahem pe'er tachas efer. That those who mourned over the loss of Zion, Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash, will once again put their pe'er, a reference meaning literally glory, but a reference to tefillin, tachas efer, in place of the efer, the ashes they have on their forehead now. So the understanding is therefore that the tefillin go where the ashes were, so therefore the ashes now will go where the tefillin normally is. Each putting ashes on their own heads. Then v'hazaken shebehen, an elder amongst them, preferably like the oldest person in the community, but it's zaken here doesn't refer to just someone who's old in terms of years, but also someone who's old and wise. Zekana chachma, that he's also, you know, got something to show for his years in terms of wisdom. He is the ideal person to now do the talking. If we don't have such a person, then we'll find just some other chacham, or lacking any chacham we have, at least we'll find an ish tzura, the right man for the job. There's different pshatim exactly what an ish tzura is, and the Mefarshim, the Gemara, they're ranging from someone who's just a Talmud Chacham, not a Chacham, to someone who is tall, someone who's an Askan, and so on. Okay, so he says before them, Lifneim Divrei Kibushin. Kibush, like Kavisha, is like crushing. So it's some combination of both inspiration, inspiring them to do tshuva, as well as reproof, you know, criticize them for their shortcomings. Again, to induce them to do tshuva, so these are crushing words which we squeeze out any haughtiness from them and get them to want to return. And he says, amongst the other things he says, he actually says the following. What he's saying here is a reference to the story of the people of Nineveh as told in Sefer Yonah. The book of Yonah, we have Hashem approached Yonah and said he intends to turn over the city of Nineveh, which was the largest city in antiquity there in Assyria. Where I think 120,000 people lived, and Yonah ultimately, cutting out the whole story of Yonah, Sefer Yonah, goes and tells them of Hashem's plans, and the people do tshuva, and the calamity is averted. So based on that, here, this Zaken will say, Achenu, my brothers, lo ne'emar ba'anshe Ninveh, regarding those people of Ninveh, it doesn't say, V'yar Elohim es sakam v'es ta'anisam, that Hashem saw their sackcloth that they put on, this very uncomfortable clothing made out of like goat hair, vestanisam, and they're fasting. Although, of course, they were wearing sackcloth and they were fasting, just as the people to whom the Zaken here is speaking are also fasting, etc. But the point is, those external acts isn't what made things change. Ella, what the pasuk does say is v'yar Elohim es ma'aseim. God saw their deeds. Kishavu midarkam hara. They had returned from their evil ways, and therefore, the pasuk continues on. Vinachem Elohim al hara asher dibar la'asos lahem b'lo asa. Hashem had changed his mind regarding the course of action he would take against his people, and therefore he didn't do the destructive act he had intended to do originally because they did tshuva. So the point is that the Zaken's trying to induce the people to do tshuva and not just a fast, you know, a hollow fast, etc. So that the calamity will be averted and the rain will come. More than that, ubakabalahu omer, we also, based on some psukim, these are psukim from the Navi Yoel, one of the Treasar, 12 minor prophets. Yoel features prominently in Maseches Tainus, you might have noticed. So again, the pasuk says, Shuvu adai b'chol levavachem, return to me with all your hearts, uvetzom uvevechi v'mispad, with fasting and crying and mispad, you know, crying out to Hashem, v'kir'u levavachem v'al bigdechem, quotes the Mishnah, that part of the pasuk, tear your hearts and not your clothing, v'shuvu el Hashem elokechem, and return to Hashem, your God. Meaning, again, we're not interested in chitzoni, external acts. We're talking about the whole context. This whole masechta is we're doing external actions to promote people to change internally, to make them return to Hashem, which is the reason why Hashem was withholding the rain in the first place. And therefore, that's the message that the Zaken's giving, that it's time. This is a time for doing tshuva, and not just a time for all sorts of acts.